This is World Radio, KHOE 90.5 FM, from the campus of Mahatma University of Management, and this is the program, What's New on Campus. I am Stan Stansberry, and we are so honored today to welcome our guests, Amin Kuder, alumni and faculty member here at MUM, and Mahatma University Management faculty member, Dr. Evan Finkelstein. Welcome, Dr. Finkelstein and Amin. We are in the midst of the holiday Ramadan, where over a billion people are celebrating. And Amin, in a nutshell, what does the holiday Ramadan mean to those who participate worldwide?
Hello. Thanks for having us on the show and talking about this. This is something that is very dear to us Muslims. Ramadan is a month. It's a holy month in Islam, and it's a month where the Quran was descended or was given to Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam. So this is a month where people fast from sunrise to sunset, and it's not fasting from only food or water, but it's fasting on all the senses. So it's a very, very special month for Muslims. It's also fasting is one of the pillars of Islam. There's five pillars for Islam, and fasting, Ramadan, is the fourth pillar of the religion. So there's about a billion Muslims on earth, and it feels like about a billion people will be fasting this month. So,
gosh, we'll save a lot of food.
Yeah.
And the fast, correct me, the fast starts at sunrise and it ends at sunset.
Yeah.
And it goes on for 30 days.
Exactly. So every day from sunrise to sunset, no food, no water, anything that stimulates the senses, is out of the picture. And then after sunset, you can have a meal. And usually it's family time. You gather around the family or friends get together. And actually, this year we have here at MUM organized for iftar. Iftar is the time when we break the fast. And Muslim students, we gather in the student cafe. And great thanks to, Aladdin Food. They're bringing us food and a food warmer and desserts and salads and things like this. And then thanks to Alwin and Amelia at Student and Rod Easton at Student Life, who have facilitated this event. So it's really nice to be together. We're all far away from home, and it's nice to be together in one place, eating, sharing stories. And
good. So I take it then that a normal day, say if we're in the Far East or all the places that there are so many Muslims live, the Near East, they all pretty much do the same thing, and then and then the religious practice, is it different at that time?
The month of Ramadan is a month of a lot of reverence, and it's a very spiritual month for Muslims. Fasting has this aspect of turning the senses within. And they say all the other things you do for yourself, but you do the fasting for Allah, for God.
Very good.
And it's a very powerful experience, this fasting, because what you're doing is you're turning your senses inward. And this kind of flows really well with our meditation with TM. Mm-hmm. It's that, that's what you're doing. You're kind of fasting from the surface of life. And during Ramadan, you're doing it on a sensory level. Mm-hmm. And then you add the meditation to that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very beautiful point, that the fast takes you away from the usual sensual experience of eating food, which involves taste and smell and touch and all the five senses. But the whole idea behind the fast in the Muslim tradition, and I think in all religious traditions have fasting, traditions, is to bring the attention away from the material world and more towards the spiritual aspect of life. And the fasting helps one to remove oneself from the material experience and move towards the spiritual experience. It's an aid for that if it's done, you know, without going too far with it. But Amin was talking about how TM helps that whole process of moving towards the spiritual. I think that's like a very important point, because with TM, in this meditation, we go not only beyond the sensory experience, but even beyond the experience of mental activity, and even beyond the experience of emotional activity, and reach a state of being, of pure being. And when one has a clear experience of pure being, one is experiencing what Maharishi refers to as unbounded being, or unbounded awareness, or pure consciousness. And in religious terminology, this is referred to as the light of God, or the being of God in religious terminology. And that's really what all religions, also, of course, a Muslim religion, is about, having a relationship with the presence of God. Because in the Quran, it says very often that the best experience for the righteous people, for the Muslim person, the best experience comes from being close to God, comes from being in the presence of God. And that's really what gives religious life its true meaning, being close to the presence of the divine. And Ramadan and TM, it helps very greatly to be in that presence and to have a direct experience of that presence. That's very important.
Now, Dr. Finkelstein, this is material that you're pretty familiar with. I mean, you teach about different religions of the world. Now, didn't Maharishi say at one time that the word Ram has a special meaning, and it's in names, it's in places, names of cultures and names of people, and it has a special connotation, Ram, and Ram, since it's associated with Ramadan.
Yeah.
So what is the connotation?
Yeah, well, Maharishi talks about Ram as a name which has to do with the sound R, A, and M. And R means dynamism or activity. Mm-hmm. And A represents a continuum of wholeness and silence. M is can be said to be the point value of silence and the point value of activity. And also the M is also a sound that continues. It goes on and on and on and on and on. So the sound Ram is actually a description of the divine, mm-hmm. which means that all the activity in the universe, also all the silence that supports the activity of the universe, from point to infinity and from infinity to point, from the smallest to the biggest, that all this activity and all this silence ultimately is the silence and activity of the divine. Mm-hmm. And so when we have the word Ram and Ramadan, the whole concept there is that one should align oneself, one should attune oneself, make oneself in synchrony with the divine activity and the divine silence of Allah. And in the Muslim tradition, that's the name that we use.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from an experiential place, you know, when you're doing the fasting, it's such a... you really feel close, you know, to yourself, and you feel close to God also, you know, when you're doing this fasting. It's an experience where you're more inward than usual, and it's an experience where, you know, you read the Quran, or you feel more clarity in that, you know. And, you know, usually people during Ramadan would read the Quran for the whole month, and then at the end of the month, culminating in what we call Laylatul Qadr, which is the night when Quran was descended on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people would read the Quran all throughout the month until the end of the month, and then they kind of closure it. And I was going to say just about the meditation. You know, my experience meditating during Ramadan is it's just so quick, slipping into, you know, the transcendental state. Mm-hmm. It's just so quick. It's just you close your eyes and you're already there. Your nervous system is already quiet, you know. Your senses have been quiet, but also your body, you know, your digestive system is not being strained as much. Mm-hmm. And all the other organs that are involved in, you know, just intaking food are not involved as much. So your nervous system is already, your metabolism is already functioning at a kind of pretty low place. So the moment you close your eyes, you just flow into that transcendental state. Sometimes it even feels like you're in that transcendental state during the day. Mm-hmm. Like it almost feels like you're rounding sometimes when you're doing the fasting.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Finkelstein, I think I've read that the Muslim faith is sort of new as far as ancient and new religions. It's fairly new to the family of religions.
Comparatively. Okay. It's not that new, but it's comparatively new.
Yeah, right.
But the thing is, though, it's kind of like a misnomer, because when you go into the Quran, you see that there are eternal principles of wisdom, eternal principles of knowledge. Uh-huh. And Muhammad himself says that this, what I'm giving you is nothing new. It's coming from the eternal wisdom. Mm-hmm. And this eternal wisdom was brought out in previous, you know, traditions as well, like the Judaic tradition, the Christian tradition. And the Judaic tradition and the Christian tradition is written about in the Quran, you know. So Muhammad basically defined the Muslim as someone who has been able to know how to surrender and submit their individual being to the universal being. Mm-hmm. That a true Muslim is someone who knows how to go beyond the limitations of individuality and surrender completely the limitations of individuality and be in the presence of Allah, be in the presence of God. And this is how Muhammad in the Quran actually defines a Muslim. So for example, he refers to Abraham, who's the father of both the Jewish tradition and also has direct relation to the Islamic tradition, because one of the sons of Abraham was Ishmael. And he referred to Abraham as a Muslim. And the reason he referred to him as a Muslim, and this is before, so to say, historically the Muslim tradition came on the scene from an historical point of view, but he referred to Abraham as a Muslim because simply for the reason that he knew how to submit, he knew how to transcend, to go beyond the limitations of individual ego, and put his awareness in the presence of the divine, put his heart and mind in the presence of the unbounded divinity, the pure divinity.
Interesting. Well, as far as religions go, I mean, it serves over 1 billion people, which is about 1/4 of the population of the world. There's a lot of people doing that.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Yes, and what a wonderful thing it is to do, because we all know that the art of transcending is the art of getting to know, to go to the inward, to your own self. And so that's a very wonderful thing. And I'm just hoping that it prospers and does well in the world of religions and in the world of everyday life.
I was going to say, you know, it's such a beautiful experience being in Ramadan in a Muslim country. I don't know if you had that experience, but literally the whole country, you know, if it's a Muslim country, the whole country changes around Ramadan. There's a lot of more acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more acts of, you know, giving of oneself and being soft with one another and supporting one another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole kind of atmosphere, the whole collective consciousness switches. And it's a beautiful thing to witness, you know. And but also, you know, being here in the U.S. and everything, just being in this environment of MUM, that is very supportive for transcending, and is very supportive for having these deep spiritual experiences. Such a blessing doing Ramadan here, mm-hmm. and being able to gather a group of, you know, Muslim students and be together and share this together. And it's such a beautiful thing. And we see a lot of support, not just from Muslims, but from, you know, from the university, from different people who come together and participate and help us have this beautiful experience here.
Mm. Yeah, I think that the Marshi University of Management has students and faculty from over 60 countries around the world, from mm-hmm. all the different traditions. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing that people from these various traditions, which very often at different parts of the world sometimes are not having such friendly relations. But here, you see Jews and Christians and Muslims, you know, yeah. Buddhists, Hindus, yeah. you know, Taoists, yeah. you know. And they come from these different traditions, but the thing that they have in common is they have a desire to go very deeply into themselves and experience that unbounded being, that unbounded being. And when they have that experience, they interpret and understand that experience in terms of their own culture and in terms of their own religion. Mm-hmm. The unboundedness is the same, because infinity is infinity. You know, presence of the divine is presence of the divine. There's one, there can only be one infinity. You know, there can only be one light, infinite light of God. Can only be one by definition, because it's infinite, eternal.
We're all connected.
Yeah, all connected. But the thing is that each tradition, when each person transcends with TM and they have that experience, right, they grow in that experience, they relate to that experience in terms of their own faith, in terms of their own tradition, in terms of their own culture. Mm-hmm. So people have different names for it and different symbols and different rituals surrounding it. And that's part of the glory of the diversity of life, mm-hmm. you know. But at MUM, it's very much appreciated, both the diversity and the unity. So the unity is supported, and its expression and diversity is equally supported, because the unity and the diversity, they go together. Mm-hmm. They go together. They're not separate from each other.
As Maharishi would put it, we're just a garden of flowers. Each one a little bit different, but it's still a beautiful flower.
Right. And each one adds to the glory of the other.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know you're from the Middle East. You're from Algeria.
North Africa.
Okay. North Africa. Sorry. Yes. And so is there much difference in the practice of Ramadan in Algeria than, say, California or any place else, or is it just pretty much the same everywhere?
The practice is the same, you know. You just you fast from sunrise to sunset, basically. Mm-hmm. So anywhere you're in the world is the same experience. Yeah.
How about the foods that are...
Yeah, so I guess the thing is the food, you know. Usually when you're fasting, when you break the fast, you break with a date and milk. That's how the Prophet Muhammad used to do it. And then, you know, usually traditionally different countries will have different kinds of food, you know. And obviously there's a billion people fasting, so there's a billion ways of celebrating and breaking the fast, but usually we start with a soup, and then you just have a light meal, and sometimes you wake up also before sunrise, mm-hmm. and you have a little bit of a meal there, and then you do prayers.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much the same everywhere, then.
It's pretty much the same, yeah. Another thing, you know, we do in Ramadan, you know, as Muslims, we pray five times a day, yes. have our prayers, and that's also one of the pillars of Islam. And in Ramadan, there is an extra prayer after the last prayer of the day, which we call Taraweeh. Mm-hmm. And students have been also doing it here at MUM. Oh. You know, we have our little mosque on campus, and students have been doing the extra prayers.
That's good. Well, anything to encourage peace in the world, thank God.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's a... It's not just the fasting. I mean, that's one aspect of it, but also, as Amin was saying before, it's also an increase of one's awareness of one's responsibilities in terms of helping others, in terms of giving charity, in terms of being generous, not only with money or with the material things, but also to be generous in terms of helping others psychologically, emotionally, you know, being supportive and nourishing to others. This is also something that's part of Ramadan as well, that a person has their attention on what they can do to make themselves a higher quality, more righteous, more just, more compassionate, more loving, more supportive human being on an intellectual level, on an emotional level, on a physical level, on a spiritual level. So it's not, the food is just one aspect of it, but really it takes into account all the different aspects of individual life to try to purify all those different aspects and put it more in harmony with the nature of the divine.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Ramadan is kind of like a training for the rest of the year. Well, the same as what Dr. Finkelstein is referring to is, you know, you're fasting for this month, but usually as a Muslim you're supposed to be fasting from hearing gossip and speaking gossip, and, you know, and you're fasting from seeing bad things and, you know, participating in those things.
Right,
yeah. So Ramadan is just kind of like an extra training camp almost, you know, for a month where you're actively, you know, and being aware of it and doing it that way.
Yeah.
So
it's very important because it's kind of, it helps, it's an aid, like if a person has developed some not such good habits, it's an aid to help to break those habits and move it into a better type of life habits that's mm-hmm. more supportive to oneself and also to others, you know. And the ideal of Ramadan is that actually people should behave this way all year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like a reminder, you know, of keeping away from the things that are not life supportive for
mm-hmm.
oneself or others,
mm-hmm.
and putting oneself, one's mind, one's heart, one's physiology, one's behavior into those behaviors and activities
mm-hmm.
that are life supporting and life nourishing, life evolving
yeah.
for oneself and also for others.
Yes.
I was going to say also, you'd think, you know, a month where people are not eating or drinking water or, you know, breaking these habits, when it comes around, you'd think that people would be like, oh no, that's coming around. But people are actually elated. They're really excited when Ramadan comes. It's like, you know, you're preparing for it and it's like there's an excitement to it. And you start Ramadan with an intention.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's one of the things before you start fasting the month. You have an intention for the month. You know, you set some kind of intention and goals for yourself for this month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a really beautiful practice. It's a beautiful discipline, beautiful practice.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God knows we need it, don't we?
Yeah, and it's also, and it's a beautiful practice. And they have, for example, in Christianity, the whole month of Lent, which
yes.
is a similar
yes.
principle. And in Judaism, there's the whole beginning of the new year, Rosh Hashanah, and then the 10 days between
yes.
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is a full fast day for 25 hours. But the main theme is the same,
right.
even though it's the prayers are somewhat different and the rituals are somewhat different. But the main theme is to remind human beings that
okay.
there really is a high purpose to being alive
yeah.
as a human being.
Yeah.
It's not just to gather material wealth only. Not that there's anything wrong with the material wealth, but that's not all there is to life.
Yeah.
It's to remind people that to live a life that's really fulfilling, you know, that's really a life of great peace and contentment and wisdom and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
To live such a life, you know, one has to live the wholeness of life. And that means that one has to go beyond the sensory level, even beyond the intellectual level, and integrate on the level of direct experience the experience of the wholeness of life, the divine value of life, which is unbounded and infinite,
yeah.
and filled with love and filled with wisdom and filled with everything that people really crave, people really want.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful.
That's so true, and Maharishi talks about that, doesn't he? I mean, what our priorities in life are is
right.
very important.
Very important.
Yes.
very important.
Well, so Dr. Finkelstein, would you like to add something to this?
Yeah, I just wanted to read something from a Muslim saint who happens to be a Sufi, someone by the name of Farid al-Din Attar. And he said, "The presence of God Most High is as a mighty ocean, and the gardens of paradise with all their joys are but as the least drop in it. He who possesses the ocean possesses the drop also. All that is not the ocean is mere vanity. Since you can find your way to the ocean itself, why do you hasten to seek a single drop of dew?" Mm-hmm. This isn't a matter of having high values and high priorities. "If you, O man, have found your reality to be one with the whole, then contemplate the whole, seek out the wholeness, become one with the wholeness, and choose for yourself the wholeness." And he also said one other thing that I'd like to share with you. When he was speaking to his students, he said to them, "For you there is an ascent of the soul towards the divine light. Therefore shall your heart and soul in the end attain to union with that light. With your whole heart and soul, seek to regain reality. Nay, seek for reality within your own heart. For reality in truth is hidden within you. The heart is the dwelling place of that which is the essence of the universe. Within the very heart and soul is the very essence of God. Like the saints, make a journey into yourself. Like the lovers of God, cast one glance within. As a lover now, in sustained experience of the beloved, be unveiled within and behold the essence. Form is a veil to you, and your heart is a veil. When the veil vanishes, you will become all light." And I just wanted to share a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad about becoming all light and the desire for that. It's from one of the hadiths. Muhammad was saying kind of a prayer, and he said, "O God, give me light in my heart and light in my tongue and light in my hearing and light in my sight and light in my feeling and light in all my body and light before me and light behind me. Give me, I pray thee, light on my right hand and light on my left hand and light above me and light beneath me. O Lord, increase light within me and give me light and illuminate me." Mm-hmm. So here's a very deep desire on the part of the Prophet Muhammad and on the part of all prophets. Strong, strong desire to be at one with that which is most high, to be at one with the infinite. And this desire, this passion is expressed very, very beautifully in the Muslim tradition. Mm. Very beautifully in the Muslim tradition.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
I mean,
it's my eyes.
I mean, you have something kind of special there, don't you?
Yeah, I have some verses from the Quran that speak about the fasting. Mm-hmm. And I was going to read them in Arabic.
Sure.
I could either read them or I could play. I guess I'll just read the verses. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامَ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةَ طَعَامِ مِسْكِينٍ فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر
يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يُرْشَدُونَ. So this is a verse from the Quran that speaks about kind of the importance of fasting, and says that, you know, this fasting is there for you few days where you're doing this and you're devoting yourself to Allah. And for those, you know, the one thing about the fasting that's very interesting is it's only if you can fast that you do it. If somebody is sick or traveling, you don't fast. This is like in the Quran, it says that if you're sick and or you're traveling, then you do it after, you know, you don't have to do it during those days, and then you can replace those days. But some people who are chronically sick or something like that, then the alternative is to feed a poor person per day. Mm-hmm. So each day that you miss, you can feed a person who doesn't have otherwise, you know, food or anything like that. And the last part of the verse said, you know, if people ask where is God, say, I'm near by you, answering the wishes of those who pray for me, who ask something. Mm-hmm. So ask them to do as I say and to believe in me, and they'll see the path, you know. So it's kind of a beautiful, I don't know if I'm doing a really good job translating it, but it's a very beautiful verse about how to be close to God and mm-hmm. how to have kind of that devotion.
Wonderful.
Well, I mean, I know that you're also a filmmaker. Do you ever have any desire to maybe have films that have to do what we're talking about?
Well, I hope that all my films, I'm striving for that, that they have some quality of transcendence, I'm hoping. Just by transcending myself,
yeah,
and by doing all these things, then hopefully some of that will seep in into the, mm-hmm. the filmmaking. I am making a film right now about a granny rock star in Algeria, oh, who doesn't read or write but plays the electric guitar.
Oh.
And she sings a lot of beautiful, you know, devotional songs and so not necessarily related to the topic of Ramadan or this or that, but you know, hopefully some of those aspects will seep into the filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And you actually have made films already.
Yeah, I worked for a while with the David Lynch Foundation.
Yeah.
So I kind of traveled around documenting the benefits of TM for different populations. Uh-huh. You know, I've filmed in prisons, with Buddhist nuns in Thailand, with war refugees in Uganda, and, you know, different places. And that's how I decided to become a TM teacher, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's just seeing so much change in so many people's lives that I thought, yeah, you know what? I think this is something definitely worth doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I wanted to ask, I mean, you've probably been practicing TM for quite a number of years, I imagine.
I was, you know, my mom was practicing when I was in her belly, so.
Oh. So you had a head start.
I had a head start.
So you have been practicing TM for pretty much your whole life then. Uh-huh. So my question is not a valid question. I was going to ask you that when you started TM, what you might have noticed in terms of your relationship with Islam and in terms of your prayers, your devotion. But since you've been meditating your entire life, there's no contrast for you, so I can't ask that question.
I can tell you about an experience.
You can ask.
I can tell you about an experience I had last year. I was back home in Algeria during Ramadan, and uh-huh. I taught
this guy to meditate. I think he was in his late 60s or 70 years old or something. And, you know, it was during Ramadan, and he had to drive quite a bit. He lived about 50 kilometers away, which is like, you know, I don't know, in miles, maybe 30 miles or something away. So he had to drive 30 miles to come and learn TM. Mm. And he said during the time where he's driving, he would read the Quran to try to remember some verses. And he said he could never do it. He had always to kind of like listen back and try to do it. And then he learned to meditate. And within the second or third day of check-in, he told me, I said, have you noticed any changes or anything like this? And he said, you know, for the first time in years, I was able to just read through the whole, you know, the whole verses of Quran, just like read through them, and I remembered them completely, and it was just a beautiful experience, driving and kind of like doing that. And I thought, great. This is kind of cool. This is really cool.
That's wonderful. That's great.
That's a great experience.
But, you know, I think in general, as, you know, there's times when you're meditating, obviously, when you have deeper experiences, and time where it's more surface. Right. But I remember during teacher training course when I was there, I was reading one time the Quran in the evening, and it was like reading between the lines. Mm. It was like there was something written, and then there's like an invisible
understanding
that is there. And I wouldn't be even able to put it in words.
Mm. Right.
The, you know, it was just like a very intimate understanding, like I understood, you know. And it's not like it's just between me and myself in a way. It was like I know I understand what's here.
Yeah.
And I had never had that kind of experience before, and it was very powerful. It was very, very powerful. Yeah. Like you're reading the verse, and something comes to you, you know, envelops you, and it was very powerful.
I think I remember when I was reading the Quran, Muhammad speaks of there's something called the mother of the book.
Yeah.
The mother of the book.
Yeah.
And to me, that meant the mother of the book is the source of the scripture. The source of who gives birth to the scripture.
Absolutely.
And when a person is transcending, like you've been doing all your life, and coming to that level of pure being, you know, that unbounded level of existence, that unbounded level of existence that you experience when you transcend fully with your TM technique, that's the experience of the mother of the book. and then when you read the expressions of the mother, when you read the expressions that the mother gives birth to the scripture, the source of the scripture, because you're so close with the source, whatever the expression is, automatically and immediately and spontaneously you grasp it. Mm. You just get it. You might not even be able to explain it in words to somebody else,
but inside your
own heart,
you get it.
Inside your own mind, you say, yes, I understand this. I know this. Mm. And that comes from being familiar with that transcendental area, which is the mother of all scriptures, all the scriptures.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's a great experience.
Well, beautiful. It's been a wonderful conversation. And at this time of Ramadan, we feel like, as I do, I'm celebrating it in my own way just by talking about it. So it's wonderful. The world's religions, we'll have to have a talk about that sometime, Dr. Finkelstein. But this was a wonderful event. And I want to thank you, too, Amin. I hope at some point we'll be able to talk about your future films, and that would be fun. And so from the campus of Maharshi University of Management and Radio KHOE 90.5 FM, thank you for joining us on the topic of Ramadan, and we'll see you next time. Jay,
I didn't want to say something really quick.
I can
do you want to say something?
No.
Well, I wanted to, you know, take a moment to pray for all of humanity, you know, and wish peace and wish, you know, genuine love in people's hearts, that is expressed in the world. Mm-hmm. No matter what faith, no matter what background, what religion, just, you know, I want to put out a deep wish for and desire for humanity to be one and to be united and to be in harmony, living in harmony and peace. And I really hope that this harmony and peace that we're seeing on this campus could be achieved anywhere in the world. And, you know, that's basically what I wanted to kind of end on, is this desire and hope for humanity to be one.
It's such a beautiful desire. Yeah. And as Amin was speaking, I was remembering in my mind a beautiful saying from a Muslim saint, Mu'i al-Din ibn al-Arabi. And he said, one of my favorite quotes from all the different religious scriptures that I've studied, this is one of my favorites, and Arabi said, "My heart has become capable of every form. It is a pasture for gazelles and a convent for Christian monks and a temple for all different worshippers of God. My heart has taken on the form of the Kaaba and the tables of the Torah and the book of the Quran. I follow the religion of love, whichever way his camels take. My religion and my faith is the true religion." And what he means by the true religion is exactly the sentiments that Amin was just speaking, mm-hmm. that there should be love and respect and mutual appreciation for everyone, mm-hmm. that all the religions should realize that they all come from the same source and they all have the same goal. Mm-hmm. And everyone should be a brother and a sister to each other, regardless of what culture they may be in, mm-hmm. because we all have the same goal. And I second Amin's prayer and hope that his prayer will be answered today for everyone.
Nothing to add.
Well, thank you. Well done, both of you, and thank you so much for being here. The community here in Fairfield and our surrounding area. We're also international too. You can catch us online anywhere in the world at khb.org. Thank you so much for sharing with us your sentiments about Ramadan, and I'm sure everyone is a little wiser for the event, and also fuller at heart and mind as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.